Hi, my name is Lloyd Sarbutt, and this podcast is brought to you by Libreria, a bookshop by Second Home. In this episode, we are listening to renowned poet, activist, and icon Nikki Giovanni, who visited Libreria for an intimate night of readings and discussion with a small audience. In this second of two episodes, we are listening to Nikki share her thoughts and feelings about the world, her fascination with space travel, a love of jazz, food, and black women, and some laugh-out-loud anecdotes. This special night, which Libreria was honoured to host, was a celebration of a major new career-spanning selection of Nikki Giovanni's poetry from 1968 to 2020, published by Penguin Classics. This is a comprehensive selection of her most important poetic works across 50 years and 15 collections, carefully curated by her long-term partner, writer and professor Virginia Fowler. I hope you enjoy it.
And the new book probably won't be out for another year, but I was here in London, which I like. I think London is it's a nice city, and it's interesting. I do think the British don't know how to make coffee, but hey, nobody's perfect, you know. And I haven't tried your Starbucks yet, but and I will. They can know better. Okay, glad to know that. But I was here in London with the documentary, and I hope it's not the documentary on my life, but it is called Going to Mars. And so as we were here for the debut, for the London debut of that, we ran into a Scottish tailor. What are those people? Tailor. He was a tailor. He sells Scottish material. So it means he has really good cashmere. I don't know another way. He must do something else, but that's what he did. And I saw the most beautiful, really, it's like silk, though, actually, with flowers. I'm doing a bad job, but it's with flowers. And I thought, wow. I asked him, you think that a bolt of this could make a suit? And he said, well, yes, but I don't live here. So I took the bolt back to New York, where Jenny has a tailor, I don't. And I asked her tailor, can you make me a suit? And of course, he was like, yeah, I can do that. And so I have a new suit for the new book. The only problem is that once you do that, you can't do anything else with it because it now becomes photo junk and you can't wear it anymore. I had a beautiful white suit, a white linen suit that is on the cover. It was gone. I put it with my papers because you can't wear it anymore. And I wrote a book called Bicycles, and I had a real fight with the photographer because he wanted it, and I wanted it. But it was my book, so it was my bicycle. And he said, well, don't worry, we'll send it to you. Well, photographers are big liars. So any of you who are photographers, forgive me. And I said to him, you know, don't worry about us. I don't want to put you to any trouble, but I knew what I was doing. I called FedEx, and I said, while I'm here, send someone to get my bike, which they did. And they sent it over to my office, which is where it's with my papers now. Cause otherwise, the photographer has a child. And I knew what would happen. I'd never see that bike again. And they would always say, they didn't send it. None of that. So I've got this new suit. The new book that I guess I should dedicate to you, that with the new poems, because you keep growing. And I guess that's what I started off rather awkwardly saying, and I didn't mean to, but I simply assume if we're in a bookstore, we either read books or we write books or we like to do that, and you have to kind of keep going, you know. And one day I won't be able to. One day I'll be dead. And I like to think, and I'm not looking forward to that, and I'm not sick, okay? She worries, you know, she's really sick and gonna drop dead on me, and she's gonna have to drag me back to New York or something. But I always think, you know, I would like to think I'd be at my desk with a pen. You know, so if you're gonna die, if you're a writer, I have some beautiful pens. I just like to be holding one of them. And no, really, don't you ever wonder, you know, what's my last thing going to be? And I like to think it's a word I'm writing. So somebody will invent a word because I will not have finished it. I will have transitioned doing that. And you know how they'll, Well, you know how they always said that she died peacefully in bed. If you're going to be in bed, it ought not be peacefully. She died with one of her great climaxes. That makes sense, you know. Well, if you're going to be in bed, you may as well be fucking. But if you... This is why I don't get invited back. But, no, I just like to see something like... Wouldn't you? I mean, that's what I would... I really would like to see something like that. But I don't have anything to do with when I transition, so it's not something to be concerned about. And actually, all of us living on this planet should not have to be concerned about when we will transition because some fool is sending a drone to drop on us mm-hmm. because they want to go to the beach and they want to own that land. Mm-hmm. That's just not something we should have to worry about. And I think of all of the dumb things that humans do. I'm getting pretty sour on humans lately. And Jenny says, don't go over there and keep telling them that human beings are going out. But we're going out. Well, you know, what have we done wrong? You should not be killing what you don't eat. Now, everybody knows that. And I've always liked being here in England, particularly in this part, because you have an aristocracy. America just has rich people. But you have an aristocracy. And the aristocracy used to go hunting. You remember that? They had their horses, which I know the horses had to be embarrassed. And they would go out. Well, horses have feelings. And they used to go out, and they would go fox hunting. And that was supposed to be fun. Well, it wasn't fun to the fox who was running for its life. It wasn't fun that you're shooting something to say, I shot a fox today. It's like being a Mississippian and said, I lynched a nigger. What was fun about that? Because it wasn't fun to the person who was being lynched. And it's, thank you. And it's just about time that human beings either stepped up to be human or that we recognize that what we're calling artificial intelligence is smarter than we are. Which it is, because it knows it would never fight a war because there's no win. Nobody ever wins in a war. Just a whole lot of people get dead. And when everybody's tired of being dead, then somebody comes along and says, let's sign an agreement that we're not going to have war anymore. As if this was a fucking dance or something. As if this was a ticket to something. As if there's a ballet. Let's sign an agreement. And then 10 years later, let's go shoot each other again. What kind of sense does that make? And if human beings don't do better, we do not deserve to be on a planet. We do not deserve to be here destroying something that probably at one point was not only peaceful but beautiful. And we have no right to make it ugly, and we have no right to make it crazy. But we know that everything that we do on this earth, everything that is living on this earth, shares the need for water and the need for air. Everything, it doesn't matter what. If it's fish, they live in the water. If it's non-fish, it lives in the air. And we are, for lack of a better word, non-fish. So we have to take care of the air because we need it as much as the water. It makes you mad, and I didn't come here today. I came here to sign, but I didn't come here to I didn't. I mean, I didn't mean to lecture you, but it's been on. It's on my mind because I'm a space freak. And I really, really know that if anything is going to save the third planet from the yellow sun and all fairness to everything that's living, it's black women. Woo! No, that's true. We get along with everybody. We talk to everybody. And, of course, the first thing, we're going to be out there in the galaxy. And we're going to, we're good. We're going to be running into a life form. Because we're the only people getting along. Somebody said, oh, you got aliens out there. I said, no, I got aliens in America. So I'm not worried about life forms out there. And the first thing we're going to say is, come here, baby, you hungry? Because that's what black women do, no matter where you're from. Are you hungry, baby? Come on in. And we are nice people. So we need to continue to encourage black women to spend a little more time preparing the next generation for space, because we get along with everybody. And that's proven because look at planet Earth. when America didn't have any black women, what did they do? They invented slavery. Said, no, go get them. And, you know, they called us, you know, dear black women, we are starting a new country. Would you like to join us? And we read it, no. Anybody want to go to America? No, I don't want to go to America. That was it. So then they sent people over to get us because they knew they couldn't have a country without us. They wouldn't have any music. They wouldn't have any good food. They couldn't make friends with anybody. Look at what we've done for the world. And I know where I am, but I have a great admiration for your queen. She's gone now. But, you know, Elizabeth could talk to everybody. And that's what made her a strong person. And we miss her because we don't have anybody that can talk to everybody right now. And I'm not against Charles. And I wish Kate well because cancer can be serious. You know, people get upset about cancer. I don't know what the verb is on cancer, but I had lung cancer and I have breast cancer. And what I want to do, of course, is live with it. Everybody says, I'm going to fight cancer. That's a male. It's so male, isn't it? I'm going to beat it. You're going to die. You're going to die. And so the best thing you and cancer can do is try to get along for a few more years. That's all. I mean, I'm not saying you don't drink your water or want clean air. I'm just saying you live with it. You live with a lot of things. And it's just a lot of old men in America. It's a bunch of old men sitting on the Supreme Court saying what you cannot do with your body. And since it's mine, I would like to make those decisions. I'm a big fan of the transgender youngsters. I do not know what we do here. But I know in America, they're picking on them. Because we're going to tell you what your race is. We're going to tell you what your sex is. I don't think so. And those kids say, no, I don't want to be a man anymore. I don't want to be a woman. Why not? If you don't like them, I'll make a bad statement. Don't eat them. Leave them alone. What do you care? They said, well, they'll go into the bathroom with us. I heard that as a black person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go in the bathroom because those Negroes went in there and peed. Well, my pee is just as yellow as yours. Don't drink it. You get sick of things like that. And I think people definitely deserve to be who they want to be. If you don't like it, you don't have to. I do know this, and then I will read a poem. But I do know this. You will never see a bunch of black people going up to the North Pole, sitting on a glacier, trying to get lighter. But you will always see a bunch of white people going to the Caribbean, sitting on a beach, trying to get darker. So what does that tell you? Common sense says we got everybody wants to be us. I don't blame them. I think we're great. But I wanted to read Ego Tripping. And this all started because Juliet said, oh, do you want me to mark where you want to read? And I said, oh, no, I can remember it, but I can't. And it's here. I know most of it, but you get to the point. For those of you who write, you get to that point in your own damn poem, and you're doing a really good, because I know most of you, I've been reading Ego Tripping for ages, and then all of a sudden, you're at the last stanza, and for the life of you, you cannot remember what it is. And then you're standing here, and you're trying to pretend, oh, I'm really reading it, and you can't find it, you know. And then you just want to blame it on the fact that you're old, but it's because you're stupid. No, I find it. I definitely will find it because it's in my second book, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a poem that came by, actually by accident. And I was just thinking, if I were she does a lot of things. I have a very small business, and I shouldn't say I because now I have. But Jenny she runs most of it, runs the calendar and everything. Gloria is our attorney, and we have an accountant. And you try to be fair about these things. You try to be fair. And every time something comes up that's important, I try to say, you know, well, what do you think and what do you think? Because I'm the one's going to have to do it. And when the documentary came up, and Michelle called Jenny and said, we want to do a documentary. Jenny said, that's great. That's something we should do, yes. And then we were having dinner, and she said, well, they're thinking to do a documentary on you. And thank you. And I think they should. I said, no. You know, you do documentaries when people are dead. I said, no. And so we had to call Gloria because Gloria gets a vote. I got outvoted. Gloria said, Nick, you should do it. Yeah. And that was it. So we did. And I continually, and I think I'm old, I get outvoted at my own damn company. You know, I felt so sorry. We have a really conservative, that would be the nicest thing, we have a bunch of Nazis who are mad about a number of things, and they called in Starbucks, and I'm looking at you because they called in the, and I like Starbucks, because if you work for Starbucks, I don't know what they're doing in Britain, I know in America, you get family leave. You get maternity leave, you get paternity leave, they do some college. It's a good company from a cup of coffee. And they're calling Starbucks in. And I'm thinking, why are you picking? You know, why are you picking on them? You start a company and you want to be able to run it. And I think they're picking on it because actually it is a good company. And because they do treat their people right. I don't know. I don't know. There may be issues here. I do not know it, but I know in the United States, they are they're a good company.
Yeah. They weren't before. They got caught out,
and then they started. Yeah. Well, you got to grow. I mean, you have to learn things, and it's the same thing. Any company, but we found it. So I thank you. I know that you just have a little trouble with one eye, just because you can't see out of it. And you know what? I know she doesn't want me to start on blind because I'm a real fan of blind people. And the reason I am is that they make good music. And we forget that. You know, if Stevie Wonder could see, he would be dead because he would have been in a gang. He's from Detroit. He would have been in a gang. He would have been using drugs. He would have gotten involved in that. He would have shot somebody. They would have shot him. And look at the music we would have missed. But his mother was a great mother. I'm sure all of you know. Well, I'm not. Stevie was born. I don't remember if he was born blind or got blind, but he was blind. And he was hanging around the house all the time. And his mother, he was 10 years old. His mother finally said to him one day, Steve, get out of the house. And he was a whiny kid like any other kid that's blind, I guess. He said, Mama, I can't see. I'm blind. So I don't give a shit what you are. Get out of the house. It's the best thing that happened. I don't blame her. If she had let him sit in there, he would have sat there in the house and whined and got on everybody's nerves. And he would have ended up like Marvin Gaye. Because
he got on everyone's nerves.
No, but it's true. People forget. Reverend Gaye. His father shot him. And his father shot Marvin because Marvin was snorting coke. And his father, who was a little crazy too, of course, got tired of hearing Marvin snort. And so he shot and killed Marvin. And, of course, Mrs. Gaye made out on that one. They put him away, and she took their money and went to California and lived happily ever after, I think. But Stevie ended up making his way to Motown with his harmonica. And we got a genius. And so when you say you're blind, you're only half blind, which is why you're a critic and not a poet. You deserve that one. It's fair enough. But thank you. Thank you. I wrote this poem because I'm always thinking, as you probably can hear now, if I could change the world, what would I do? And in all fairness to everybody, and I mean no disrespect to those who are not, I would, again, create the black woman, because you can't have anything without a black woman. So you're going to start with what's important, black women, and then you're going to build from that, right? That's true. And it's not just because I am one. I think I would have the same respect for black women if I was something else. I don't know. I was trying to think of what else do I... Yeah, and I guess then I have a dog. And She's a Yorkie, by the way. I wouldn't mind being. Well, Cleopatra, though, is dominating. So I don't think I want to be dominating. I liked Wendy. I had a Cairn Terrier who was really, now that was a smart dog. She was really sweet. Cleopatra wants you to do it. No, Cleopatra makes you do everything her way. And when she gets angry with me, she knows, I don't know dog, but she knows English. And when she gets angry with me and we're having a quarrel about it, she'll bark or whatever it is that she does. And then she'll go to my room and shit right in front of my door. I could not make this up. And if I'm not careful, I walk with my head down anyway. But if I don't, I will step in it. And then she will look up like, oh. Did Cleo do something wrong? I mean, she's got that look, you know, and I'll say, Cleo, and did Cleo, but I know if I don't, well, don't worry, baby, I'll clean. Because if I don't apologize to her for her making me mad, then she'll pee someplace, and I'll slip and fall. And she'll do that, oh, did you slip and fall? You know, your fucking dog is, she's 12 pounds, and she runs the house. I'm going to get a German Shepherd one day. But she'll probably run the German Shepherd because she's a girl. And girl dogs do the right thing. They make everybody. That has nothing to do with this point. So I wrote this poem in trying to figure out how would I want to create a world. And it's called Ego Tripping. There may be a reason why. I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a perfect, excuse me, I designed a perfect, I keep saying I should always do that. Here we go, Jim. I designed a Sphinx so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intone my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sold diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip. Even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky. I do like that poem. And right now, most people don't remember Eddie Hayward because he never got to be a big star. I do a lot with jazz. I think I write more about jazz and food than anything. And I do a lot with jazz, but Eddie Hayward was a jazz pianist. And he wrote a song called Soft Summer Breeze, which was a major hit. It was a hit, but not as big. And so what my writing, because people always keep asking, well, no problem with it, but what I try to do with my writing, which was interesting to me, as a writer, the first person who has to be interested in what you're writing is you. And you have to keep that in mind. If nobody else ever reads it, you read it, and it has to be interesting to you. And you are going to be your first reader, no matter who else reads it afterward. And so you're writing for yourself. And that means It's why we end up with an ego shipping. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be. How do you know? And if you're going to be a poet, most of your, any praise, if I guess that's the word, that you're going to get, is going to get after you, 100 years, 200 years old. You look at, you're dead and gone. Look at Jeopardy and look at the questions that they ask. They didn't used to ask her any questions about Maya until she died. And then all of a sudden, Maya is a category. Most of the categories are, of course, Shakespeare, and so you all know that. And people who read Shakespeare or see it know, you're always gone, I kept wanting, I look at Jeopardy when I'm home every night. And I kept, how the category is poetry. And I usually put my food, because we watch it while we're doing that, put the food down. I say, poetry, okay, I'm a poet. Jeopardy's going to have at some point. And once in maybe 5 years, I was a wrong answer. And that's the truth. I've never been a question on Jeopardy. And Alex Trebek was still alive. And I wanted to write Alex and say, damn, I'm around. You do sort of at least want to be a question, even if nobody gets you. But at least I was a wrong answer, and I told my students that. I was a wrong answer last night on Jeopardy. And, there are little things that you would like to do, and you don't. And the question was, they did a thing on the NAACP, and I have 7 NAACP Image Awards, which I am so proud of, to be honest. Nobody has 7 in it, and they asked that as a question. Who won? And the answer, by the way, was Alice. And I like Alice, speaking of people who have one eye out. I like Alice, but well, she does. I didn't do anything. She does. I'm sorry. But I thought, well, how come Alice gets to be an answer? I want to be an answer, and I'm not egomaniacal or anything like that, but sometimes, but then when Florida, and that's what really finally got me, to be honest, and I don't mind, I'm not humble, I just don't, when Florida started banning books, and they banned Toni Morrison, and they banned Alice, I mean, they were banning books, I wasn't being banned. I couldn't believe it. And then, I don't think much of Governor DeSantis anyway. But I thought, well, damn, I offend people. why am I not being? I was about to write him a letter, and then they finally, in time, banned Rosa. And I said, well, thank God. I want to be with the banned people. Jenny was like, oh, maybe they don't read poetry. I don't care what they do. I'm offensive. Damn it, I want to be on that side. And it's amazing, So some of us, you have to just accept it, I guess, and I should too. You're just not always going to offend the way that they want you to be offended. But that upset me. I thought, you've got to put me in that. And I really was. I was going to write him and say, son of a bitch, can't you read poetry? Don't you see that I hate you? You get over that. But I enjoy that. I wanted to read a love poem, so now you picked up another one. I gave one. It's called Still Life with April. And it's really one. I let her look it up. She's been helping. I'll have all of the books here. No, she's got it. Somebody else will have it. It's a label. And it's because poets are always in love. 452. I knew it was down there someplace. See, they. I think. Trajan. And I wrote this because you all are young, and I am going to assume that you fall in love. You should. You don't have to stay there. Everybody. No, because they're like, we fall in love forever. No. But, a good week. And one of my favorite songs. That's the truth. making a habit of it. One of my favorite songs is Sunday Kind of Love. And so I like it by Miss Washington. I don't know if you all are Dinah Washington fans, but everybody wants a Sunday Kind of Love. And the kind of lasts to Saturday night. From Saturday, you know, you want maybe a little more than that, but I understand that, you know, and it's kind of nice. And people always want to make, they want to make the women be in love forever. And then you get stuck with, no. I won't do that. I wrote this because it's a love poem, and it was something that interested me. Boom. I didn't read any love poems yesterday or day before, whenever we had that other. I didn't get to read a love poem, so I'm going to read this one. Still Life with Apron. I would like to see you cooking. I would like for you to cook for me. I would like to see you decide upon a menu. Go to the market and pick the fruit, the vegetables, the fish. I would like to see you smell the fish, test the flesh for the freshness and firmness. I would like to watch you in the bakery by the dinner rolls, deciding rolls or crispy bread. I would watch you run back to get the goat butter. I would like to be sitting in a corner when you and you, intent upon your meal, not noticing me, will go to the wine store. I would watch you wrestle with red or white. White, of course, because it's fish, but red is seductive. Whoever ever fell in love over a glass of white wine? That's true. Oh, why is it always stuck in when you get ready to turn the page? Why does it do that? There we go. I uncharacteristically would be on time, would like you to greet me in a butcher's gown. I would like to watch you greet me only in a gown and an apron. You would ask me to undress for you before I sit down at the table, at the beautiful table, before you hand me my glass. You would ask me to undress. I would like to watch you watch me undressing for you. I would like to watch the movement in the apron as I undress for you. I would like to watch you stroll to the closet where you bring out your old buffalo plaid dressing gown, your pilly, much washed dressing gown that smells like you after you brush your teeth, after you shower, after you comb your hair. I would like to embrace your odor, your essence as we sit down to eat. I would like for you to cook for me. I would like that very much. That was a bad ring. Oh, yeah. It was a bad ring, but I really like that poem so much. Because I just think, you know, that's romantic. You know, you go to somebody and say, oh, well, would you mind undressing before we... I think, yeah, you know, then that would be great. And then a month later, you go on, you know. There's a reason pencil savvy racers. And so you take advantage of them. And they didn't tell me if I'm supposed to have... Well, they always say questions and answers, but I say comments. And I don't know if there's something I don't know if you have something you want to say.
You're opening up.
So I just wanted, I mean, when you come into which I really love, a little bookstore like this, people can talk to you, you know. And once in my life, and truly only once, we played, I don't even know what to call it, but we were at a festival. It was 20,000 people. And I said I'd never do that again. And I really enjoy being close enough for people to say, you know, idiot, we don't want to hear that or whatever. And we can, I can see you and you can see me. So I didn't know if they had allowed time or told you that you could say things. But oh, sure. I have a granddaughter, and I have a son, and I really do, and I'm always teasing. I shouldn't tease sons. Sons are recommended for certain things. They cut your grass, you know. They do, and they fix your gutter. Well, now my gutters have that thing. I don't know if you all have them, but they have a permanent gutter now. That it used to be that I have a son, so it used to be they had to be cleaned out. But now they have that thing that you put over the gutter. And it's amazing what sons will find that will take care of things that they should be doing. That's what you, oh, no, no, you know, this is the new thing. You'll really love it. No, it's not that I would love it. It's that you don't feel like coming and cleaning the gutter. So I understand that. Well, then don't come and be, you know, like really so friendly. But I have a, my son has a daughter. And we come from a family predominantly, actually, of men. And our family, we don't know much about my father's family because he's from Mobile, Alabama. And Mobile is a port. So people are always asking me, how did you get Jim? And that's supposed to be funny, by the way. And it's nothing funny about my name. But people, hey, how did you get Giovanni? Same way we get everything else. You know, obviously some sailor came in. My grandmother on my father's side is Maddie Jones, and my father's name is Jones Giovanni. And we always figured that Giovanni was a sailor who, for whatever or however or whyever, which is none of my business, my great-grandmother, my grandmother on my father's side, that's how he, you know, we got him. And what she remembered was that it was Giovanni. And so that's how he got his name, which suits us. But we know my mother's side of the family because they're all Watsons. And just as a bit of gossip, by the way, we were talking about it earlier. They're from Albany. And so you always know the difference when you're talking about Albany, New York, and Albany, Georgia. And you just listen to them, you know which one they're talking about. Some of you all won't because you're British, but that is the way it does. And the Watsons married the Kings, who married the Horns. So Lena Horne is a distant cousin. And that's how, yeah, because, you know, that's about the only colored families in town. And so that's the way, you know, that kind of worked out. But I only have one, that's a long way to say, to explain this for me that you didn't ask me to explain. But we only have, I only have one girl cousin, and the rest of them are men, and all of the men in the Watson family shoot. Well, actually, all of us are gun people. I don't, not now, I mean, I have a gun, so you don't have to worry. But we all grew up with you know, with guns because you're in Georgia, and you just found it unattractive that a group of white men would put a hood over their faces and come to do something. If that's going to happen, then you're going to have to shoot them. You might lose. You might lose, but you're going to take down quite a few with you. And so that's the way that they looked at it. I have a granddaughter. I don't think that her name is Kai. I don't think that Kai shoots either. But it wouldn't be the worst idea now because so much craziness going on. But that's not the point at this point. The point is that when you get to be more or less, if I may, my age, you get to be, if I may, more or less lonely. And you're not like whiny lonely, like, oh, damn, nobody loves. But you just, you want a granddaughter. You want a daughter. And you didn't have enough sense to have a daughter when you could have had one. So now you have to get another one, right? And so you have a granddaughter. And you think, well, that's good because the granddaughter's the one. She won't clean your gutters or cut your grass, you know, but she will come and sit with you and she'll cook with you and she'll cuddle up with you. And I collect quilts, and there are a lot of quilts in this book because I have them and collect them. And one of the things that I have is a quilt that my grandmother made, which would be her great-grandmother, and we've added to it. And so that's something that when everything else goes wrong, that's where you cuddle up, right? And that's what this form is called, vegetable soup, because I should have put down there, because I never had a daughter. I think I'm afraid of growing old. My eyesight will fail. I won't be able to jump rope. When I turn my CD on, I won't know Miles Davis from John Coltrane and may not recognize Bill Evans from Thelonious Monk. No one will want to be around me because I will be sad about what I have lost. I do have a couple of potatoes, though, and a yellow onion, I think. There is a turnip and maybe some frozen peas, and surely I have some garlic cloves. I hope there is a piece of ham hock, a can of tomatoes, and with any luck, a yellow and green squash. Always there is a stalk or two of celery, and of course three or four carrots. Maybe I'll have a granddaughter who will cuddle under the quilt our grandmother, hers and mine, made, who will read Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim to me again, while the vegetables she has carefully chopped and put in chicken broth will drift over like sunny clouds to tickle our nose. I really like that. I like that. Is that what that, yeah, I like that. I think granddaughters are a real good idea, and they're way better than sons because you can count on them, and they come by, you know. So that's that right there for Kai. And when you see the there she is, and it's really funny because when she came, first time she came down to visit my house, or our house, I guess, and she's like a museum, and it is. I live in a museum, so. What we did was we created a foundation. It's called The Answer Is Yes, because I'm a big fan of yes. Whatever I get asked to do, I try to do it. And the answer is yes. So we gave it to the university so that when we do transition, as we will, it'll stay together. Because otherwise, it would be sold. Not that I'm against things being sold, but it'll be sold off piece by piece. And I didn't want that to happen. We didn't want that to happen. So... It's given to the university to be a museum, and knowing my luck, the mice will move in. And I like mice. It's the little droppings you don't like. It's not the mice are fine. It's that they leave little pieces of shit all over the place, and if they could learn to clean up after themselves, they'd be a welcome guest. You know what? But the mice don't call and ask me that, so I don't get an answer. So that was a long way of saying thank you.
Thank you for listening. I wish to thank Nikki Giovanni, Virginia Fowler, and Penguin Random House for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Visit our website, liberea.io, for news of future events and book recommendations.